grace and peace of the risen one, our Savior and Lord, Jesus the Christ, be with you this day and always. Amen. It's my hunch that every Christian preacher on this Easter day, the year of our Lord 2020, has reflected upon two obvious truths. On the one hand, today is the day of hearing once again the familiar story of the women which have come to the tomb only to be surprised and astonished by its emptiness. Their initial fear is belayed by the message of the angel, and their joy is confirmed in the glorious appearance of their Lord Jesus Christ. Today, of course, is the day of our Alleluia. Today is the day of victory for our God. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. But this Easter, Easter 2020, is an Easter that brings also to the mind of preachers a second truth. It's perhaps even more obvious this year than the countless before it, more so than the empty tomb and the resurrection of Jesus. This truth is revealed in the absence of reference to the dear friends of Christ, the 12, as he would call them, now minus one, who became a betrayer, the disciples with whom just a few evenings ago he had shared a meal, washed their feet, comforted their souls. These disciples are only referenced in today's gospel proclamation as ones to whom these women witnesses must go and tell the good news. They are only referenced and must be relegated to history as subsequent receivers of the gospel because they are holed up, locked away, afraid to venture into public lest the curses of the world fall upon them. The disciples are isolated, social distancing, staying at home. After the events that we now call Good Friday, they hid themselves away in what some call the upper room. They were frightened and confused to the point that they didn't know who to trust. And as such, they are like us. Or perhaps more appropriately, we are like them. Fear has always been the enemy of God's message of love. It was fear that masked as shame that caused Eve and Adam to hide from God in the garden. Fear looked like pride when the Israelites molded a golden calf and worshipped it in the wilderness. Fear was lust and greed and power for the kings of old and new. Fear is hoarding toilet paper and hand sanitizer and medical masks. Now, to be clear, fear isn't always bad. The fear of catching the coronavirus is, by all means, real. And it is your fear, thanks be to God, that is keeping you at home today, thereby ultimately protecting our blessed, albeit fragile, hospital systems from collapse. Fear keeps you isolated so that if and when we catch it and pass it on to our most vulnerable neighbors, they might have the resources they need to recover. But the kind of fear that kept the disciples locked away in a room by themselves, this is the fear of uncertainty. This is the fear of misplaced trust. This is the fear that results in not remembering Jesus' words when he said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I am the way and the truth and the life." Political and religious realities can keep us locked away, either by or against our will. A virus pandemic can keep us locked away, and right it should, while people smarter than us make plans for inoculation and eventually eradication. But fear need not have the last word. Fear need not carry the day. Fear should not and will not hold us captive forever. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had an experience of isolation over the Easter weekend in 1963 when he was arrested and jailed in Birmingham, Alabama. It was from that locked room that he penned the letters from a Birmingham jail directed toward white, Christian, and Jewish leaders who, while sympathetic to King's cause, also urged caution and patience for justice. But rejecting this call to patience, King wrote in these letters of the fear that quite literally kept him captive. Not his own fear, but that of so many in our culture, including these religious leaders, who were unwilling to step out in faith against the powers of evil. He wrote this: "Let us all hope that the dark clouds of racial prejudice will soon pass away and the deep fog of misunderstanding will be lifted from our fear-drenched communities. And in some not too distant tomorrow, the radiant stars of love and brotherhood will shine over our great nation with all their scintillating beauty." Friends in Christ, this is the glory of the resurrection. The shining of radiant stars is the wonder and amazement witnessed by the women at the empty tomb. This scintillating beauty is the power at loose in the world that reached down into the dark, locked, and suffocating tomb to raise up Jesus to eternal life. It's the witness that busted through the walls of that upper room and announced, "Peace be with you," to all of those scared disciples, lifting their deep fog. And it's the grace that comes to us this day, while we are sequestered away in our homes, a grace that cannot prevent the alleluias from escaping our hearts and voices. They will be proclaimed first to each other, shouted from doorsteps and windows, recorded on Facebook Live videos or Zoom meetings or even good old-fashioned phone calls, and shared within our community and around the world as we support, encourage, help and love one another through this ordeal and whatever else may come. Martin Luther King Jr. knew that the power of love could not be contained or locked away. He knew that Jesus, once he lit a fire under the feet of those amazing, brave women, would cause a wave of good news to pour over the world and through the centuries. Today, it's our turn to take that message once entrusted to the women and deliver it to places of fear and injustice, to the hospital workers who are caring for the sick and dying patients, to children ripped from their classrooms and playground relationships, to city and state officials making decisions that hurt the economy but save lives, to the loved ones of the infected who are unable to hold the hand of the dying, to each of us in our own situation of uncertainty. The good news of Easter is that God will raise us too into abundant life that promises goodness, joy, and hope. Martin Luther King Jr. also wrote this in his letters from prison: "Oppressed people cannot remain oppressed forever. The urge for freedom will eventually come. Something within has reminded them of birthright to freedom. Something without has reminded them that they will gain it." People of God, oppressed yet no longer, rise. Rise even in the confines of your isolation. Rise in your joy this Easter morning. Shout your alleluias and share the witness of the women at the tomb. Tell your brothers and sisters that Jesus is alive. He is risen. Alleluia.